So we have arrived at the day-long retreat. So there's nothing more to think about. We are here. This is it. As many of you know, this is a day-long retreat, which we undertake in silence, which is a great gift in this very noisy, stimulating world, without even practicing meditation. Just to have a day of silence is a great gift to give ourselves and to give to others by making sure that we maintain silence throughout the day. The day is being co-facilitated with me by Ken Lennington, sitting to my left over there. Ken is a long-term student of mine from Asheville, a retired psychiatrist, which we will not hold against him. And he has been co-facilitating with me a year-long intensive on the mind trainings, which is the subject of the practices today. So this group here today, and we do have a 15 or 20 people also that are part of the mind training intensive that are on being live-streamed to them. But in terms of this group here, there are many people here who are have been in this intensive on the mind trainings, practicing, studying them for past year. And there are many people who are members of our community who practice who have not been in that intensive. And there are people here who aren't part of our community. There are people here who have been practicing meditation and spiritual things for decades, and there may be people who just wandered in here today, wondering what's going on. So we are a very diverse group, but we are here. And so I invite everybody, whether you are brand new and experienced, whether you're inexperienced, whether you know these teachings or practices, or whether they are going to be totally new to you, we are all equal here. And actually, perhaps those who are not familiar with these teachings have the advantage, because there are many people who may be familiar with these teachings who think, I know this. If you really knew it, you wouldn't be here. Because practice is about realization. Right. Until we can hit all the notes right, we keep having to practice whatever piece of music we're working on, right? Then we know we can move on. So in terms of the practices and the teachings that we read about, we study, we learn, we have to become proficient in them. That is our goal. How do we know we're proficient in them? We know it in daily life. So today we will be just touching on some of the key points and practices of these mind training. But I invite everyone here right now to immediately drop any ideas or concepts they have about these trainings, whether you've heard them many times or never heard them at all. And just see if you can listen with what's called in Zen a beginner's mind. A beginner has no reference. right? Because they're beginners. A beginner knows nothing about whatever they're studying because they're beginners. And a beginner, if you've ever been a beginner in anything, is very open. If you're a beginner, but already you think you know something, then you're not a beginner, are you? And oftentimes we contaminate the practices and the teachings we're receiving in life because we are immediately processing everything through our own ideas and beliefs, concepts. And how are we ever going to learn, right? If we filter everything through what we already know. So I invite everyone to be very open. Let it just sink in. After it's over today, you go home, you can, do whatever you want with it. Okay? But to get the most out of the day, I would say just be here. So we will invite the bell, and then we will begin our day-long retreat today. Welcome to the people on the live stream. The talk is being, and the day is being recorded. So when we do take questions, there'll be a mic, and that's so people can hear on the live stream. Everybody clear about that?
gently bring your minds into meditation. Namo Shakyamunaya Buddhaya.
Namo Shakyamunaya Buddhaya.
So once upon a time, a long time ago, there were many very intelligent and wise and compassionate beings, just like ourselves. In part of the world that we call now India, Nepal, Tibet, that looked deeply into the human condition. And through the process of meditation, mindfulness, concentration, and looking deeply and reflecting on life, they came up to some answers to why human beings, even though overtly they want to show up in the world with kindness, compassion, intelligence, discernment, live in harmony with each other, why they don't. Why for many human beings that is so difficult, such a struggle. How often our best efforts often seem to fall flat or off the mark. So they took a lot of the human experience and the wisdom, well, this is especially in the Buddhist tradition, and they synthesized it into these mind trainings, these 59 very pithy slogans to really guide us, both in our meditative practice, but even more importantly, in our daily life practice, so we would have clear guidelines and reminders of how to, enter the world in a way that allows us to manifest all these qualities that we, in our hearts, we want to manifest. And these are the mind trainings. In Tibetan, it's called Lojong. And they're quite wonderful, and really, one doesn't really need much else in life. If one is to have one fundamental group of teachings, I would say this could be on the top of your list. And so in our community, we periodically have these year-long intensive study practice periods, and we have one going on in this year. And so Ken and I, will, in four sessions today, we'll do our best to pick out a few of them, and we will practice them together. So this is not a, this is a time to practice together. But again, the ground of our practice today should be that we have presence. We are present. We are aware. We're not wandering off into the past, wandering off into the future, not ruminating upon all kinds of extraneous matters. But we're doing our best to be concentrated on the matter at hand so we can get the most out of it. Most of the people here, if not everyone here, are lay people. We have busy lives, lots going on. So it is a rare opportunity that we have, like today. We've put down all our usual activities, right? To be here together for really just 7 hours, not a lot of time. So please, it's really up to you to make use of it. Of what you've set out for yourself, right? To gain most of the fruits for today, whatever they are. So I invite everybody to, if you're still carrying anything from earlier today or earlier in your lifetime, or you're still, going out there in the future, just put it down. You can pick it up when you leave here, return to our, usual ruminations and obsessions. But why don't you give yourself a break? I think your mind would be very grateful if you gave it a break. So these 59 slogans are divided into seven sections. After some introduction, that really concerned why do we need mind training? Well, I think that's an obvious answer. The answer to that is obvious, because all of us know the disadvantage of having an untrained mind, right? A mind that is just trained in, most of our minds are just trained in what? Self-centeredness, self-absorption. Our minds are very well trained in that. Our minds are very well trained in looking out and endlessly grasping, pushing away all the things that appear in the outer world to us. We are well trained in that without even knowing it. All the grooves that our minds go in, they go in because we've trained them. They've been trained. Again, most of our training has been unconscious. We've just absorbed familial, cultural ways of looking at things, responding to things. So, to actualize anything, we have to train. And so these mind trainings give us an opportunity to retrain the mind. Not so we can become good Buddhists, so we can become good human beings. the world needs good human beings. People who can walk the walk and not just talk the talk. So these mind trainings give us with great clarity how to go about the process, both in our meditative life, but more importantly, in our daily life, in our relationships, how to always, in all situations, manifest that which is best in us, intelligence, wisdom, discernment, loving kindness, compassion, generosity, patience. So these are very wonderful. So we'll only be touching on a few of them today, but I invite everybody to get involved. I am going to be using this one book. It's called The Great Path of Awakening, the classic guide to using the Mahayana Buddhist slogans to tame the mind, awaken the heart, by a 19th century Tibetan master called Jamyam Kongchol. But there are these days many commentaries on these slogans. So it begins with the actual instructions. First, train in the preliminaries, it says. Okay, so that's where we're going to begin today. Okay. Now, many of us, whether we're sitting down to meditation, many of us, whether we're walking out into our world, we get up in the morning, we get up, we get up, and we go out into the world, whatever it is, but we have no foundation, no context, either in terms of how we're approaching our meditation or how we're approaching all the activities of the world, our work, our life, our relationships. There's no context. Like, what am I up to today? You know, what's going on out there? And most of us, we just see just the story, just the acute, immediate story of whatever is going on. But we don't see the big picture. The big picture of our life or the big picture of the world. And so having this foundation is really essential if one wants to be aware of what's going on and to act from always a place of discernment, clarity, insight, compassion. Is that clear? So these preliminaries, you know, many of us, we're very intelligent. We go, oh, the preliminaries. Yeah, let me get on to chapter four. You know, I want to see. I mean, the preliminaries, that's the easiest. No, the preliminaries are most important. Because if we don't have the preliminaries, we don't have the context, we will not live it correctly. We will not apply it correctly. We will not remember to apply it. So it says, first, train in the preliminaries, and it has both the preliminaries to a meditation and the preliminaries to life. Okay, and many of you know these things, but hear them for the first time. For some of you who don't know it, you don't have to practice hearing it for the first time. You are hearing it for the first time, so it's a lot easier for you. So when we sit down to meditation, okay, so like right now, we're all sitting down to meditation, whether on the cushion, whether in a chair. What is the context in which we're sitting? Why are we doing this? Why are you doing this? Are you very conscious why you're doing it? Traditionally, in what's called Mahayana Great Vehicle of Buddhism, we begin by generating the aspiration that whatever benefit comes from this practice, I want to share it with others. I want to be able to show up in the world today and in the future with understanding and kindness, etc. You know what I mean? So there's a context in why we're sitting. We don't just plop down on the cushion to do a technique. There's a context for our life and the world which we're very conscious of. Right? So please take a moment right now. Just close your eyes and get in touch with your own intention and aspiration. You know, why do I want to learn how to meditate for those who are new, or learn mindfulness? Partly it's for ourselves, our own well-being, our own mental health, our own mind state. But maybe it's also about how we want to show up in the world, how we want to be in relationships with all kinds of people, friends, family, close ones, colleagues. It may be in the context of wanting a better world, a kinder, more compassionate world. And I understand very clearly that I am one part of that world. And so what I'm doing right here on the cushion is in a very immediate way my own contribution to ending the suffering of beings, because I want to end my own. Creating peace in the world by developing a peaceful mind, a harmonious mind, a loving mind, a mind that is free of anger, fear, despair, you know. So please take a moment. This is the preliminary. Why am I undertaking this practice? So we're sitting down, but there's a context. And it's a context in which each of us is very conscious of. Please see what your context is and see if you can consciously generate it. So you're in touch with it. This might be an unfolding for those of you who haven't looked at it this way before, looked at your life in this way before, lived life with intention and aspiration that's very conscious. So our actions, both on the cushion and, most importantly, off the cushion, are evolving within a context of meaning and purpose. This is where we begin, with the foundation. And it should be very personal, very intimate with yourself. You really know how you want to be in life. And so all the various things we do, the formal practices we do, have a context. They're not just techniques for the short run. You have to open your heart wide for this one. You have to cut through all the short-term stuff that we get obsessed and involved with. You need to know this place within yourself. It's very pure. If we don't know where we're going, it's very easy to get off at the wrong stops, take the wrong roads, hit the wrong notes. Please contemplate this. Good. Are we clear? Good. So again, this is a process, but this is very important that when we sit in formal practice, whatever our meditation, formal practice, study, and as we go into our day, that we have a foundation based on conscious aspiration that's bigger than whatever we're doing. Whatever we're doing is what we're doing. But the context and the unfolding of that is within you. Is that clear? Good. So after the preliminaries for the and it goes into other things, then it talks about what are called the four thoughts. Many of you have heard them, but unless you really live them, hearing them is not enough. So what's going on out here, you see? Like, you know, all of us have our lives and we have our families and our relationships and we have our work and we have this, you know, but like what's in the world and everything that's unfolding in the world, you know what I'm saying? But what's the bigger context in which this whole thing is unfolding, right? So this is also important. So when we see the world through our senses, we have some way to make sense of it in the bigger picture. If we don't have the bigger picture, then we'll get always snagged on the little stuff. Does everybody know what I mean? That's how we spend our lives, snagged on the little stuff. And having lots of up and down emotionality, positive and negative, because of that. So seeing the bigger picture of what's going on is very helpful. So what are some of these contemplations? First is the fundamental truth of impermanence. Everybody here, most of the people here, will go, oh yeah, I know that one. If we really know that one, because we've really contemplated and realized and really look at the world that way, we understand what? Everything is changing, nanosecond to nanosecond, moment to moment, minute to minute, hour to hour, year to year. Everything is changing. Everything's impermanent. Nothing is solid. Right? Just close your eyes a second. Do you really get that? Can you accept that? Let us just reflect on impermanence. Big picture. History, the world. Empires. Coming and going. Great empires, great civilizations of centuries ago, they're just relics, archaeological digs. Impermanence of the earth, study geology, just endless geological moments. The earth keeps changing. Living beings keep changing. Dinosaurs are gone. The Neanderthals are gone. Just reflect on the bigger picture. Every day, new news, which is really all about what's changed, what's changing. And we notice that it's just constantly changing, endlessly changing, moment to moment, day to day, people, presidents, politics, history. 50 years ago, the perpetrators of injustice are now the victims of injustice, right? People used to be the victims of injustice and now the perpetrators of injustice, right? People are on the bottom are now on the top. People on the top are now on the bottom. I mean, it's right, endlessly changing. Is that not true? So one has to get the big picture of this world that we're entering every day, that we read about, we think about, talk about. What's really going on here? And now let's make it more personal. Human beings, do they change? Do they not start out in utero, and after 9 months, manifest as an infant, newborn, moment to moment, day to day, year by year, grow, change, age, go through stages. Sometimes they're healthy, sometimes they're sick. Sometimes they're sick, sometimes they're healthy. But basically, it's day to day, moment to moment, hour to hour. Health is impermanent. Aging, we're aging. All of us are aging. People here are from their 20s all the way up. We're all aging. Our bodies are changing. And we all die, which is one of the greatest truths there is. That's the greatest impermanence of human life. The greatest impermanence of human life is it's impermanent. It's transient. It's short term. Please reflect on that. Is that true? Reflect on your own life. Has your life changed from your early childhood, later childhood, teenage years, you know, just keep going up. Has it always stayed the same or is it endlessly changing? The people in your life, endlessly changing. How many people since you became conscious have died already? How many people have aged? I mean, we need to just notice the impermanence of this life. because we don't see it in the moment. We have to reflect deeply to see what's going on. And we look inside our minds. Do you have the same thoughts, feelings, perceptions that you had 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago? How about 5 minutes ago? What's going on inside there? Is that a solid field? Our mind, our thoughts, our perceptions, our beliefs? Or when you look back in your life, do you say, well, that's changes too. It's not solid. Likes, dislikes, people, love, hate, I mean. See the bigger context. Related to this contemplation on impermanence is the preciousness of this life that we have. Knowing that everything's impermanent, nothing lasts. Death could come at any moment. Sickness is always. And yet right now, each of us has a precious life. Not only do we have health to a certain degree, I mean, we're all healthy enough to be here today. We have good minds that can understand the Dharma, understand our context. And we all have the opportunity. Here we are. How fortunate I am. I have a great opportunity in my life now to use this life, which is so impermanent, like a flickering light, flickering candle, blown this way and that way. But in this moment, I have an opportunity to do something really meaningful. I do not know if I'll have this tomorrow, next year, but today I do. At this time in my life, I do. So contemplating the preciousness of your life, the opportunities and the freedoms you have. We're always looking at what's wrong with our life, what's deficient, what's missing. It's important to see what's right. Third contemplation is fundamentally, the fundamental unsatisfactoriness of a pleasure-seeking life. Why is it fundamentally unsatisfactory? Please reflect with me and reflect on your own life. Because pleasure only lasts as long as the pleasure lasts. That's the problem. Good times only last as long as good times. Everything's impermanent. So do we spend our life chasing the good times, chasing the pleasure, all of which don't last? Then we're disappointed, then we're hurt, then we're angry, then we're... Because ultimately everything ends in death, that's also very interesting to contemplate. So is a life that is always based on pleasure seeking, good time seeking, fun seeking, stimulation seeking, which really describes, goal and achievement seeking. In the big picture, this is not the small picture, not that there aren't lots of little gains and happinesses all along the way in this life, but fundamentally, is it unsatisfactory? Because it doesn't really give us a real deep, lasting peace, happiness, sense of well-being. that has nothing to do with how things are going in my life. This is the third contemplation that helps us understand what we're doing in this life and what's going on here. And last but not least is the contemplation of understanding that everything is causes and conditions. That if I want a good life, if I want a happy life, if I want a peaceful life, it can only occur when I am in the actions of my body, speech, and mind, doing wholesome, positive actions of body, speech, and mind. As long as I'm doing actions of body, speech, and mind, activities that are unwholesome or negative, I will be unhappy. My relationships will be unhappy. This is very empowering, this fourth one, to know that I have the power in my own actions of body, speech, and mind to create for myself the kind of life I want to be. It's all within my hands. So understanding that everything is just cause and effect, nothing is fixed, nothing is solid. No matter what the causes and conditions that have brought me to this moment in my life, when I understand this, I realize I can begin doing it differently. I can create a new future for myself through the actions of my body, speech, and mind. Again, very positive message. And wakes us up to the reality that, I really got to attend, not just when I'm out in public, but in the privacy of my own life, home, and most importantly, in the privacy of my own mind. What am I cultivating? Am I cultivating wholesomeness? And again, so we're sort of about to step into the world of the mind trainings for help in this one. So good. Are there any, again, I'm just sort of running through it, setting the stage, but letting, again, so we understand before we even think about meditating, there has to be a context in which we're undertaking this and understanding for our meditation, but also before we go out into life every day, so we understand what's going on out there. Are there any questions about this? Just questions. Anything not clear? Yeah, it is kind of simple, isn't it? So why don't we just stop a minute before we move on to the next section, which is really the meditative part. I mean, this is contemplative. We're contemplating, we reflect. Many people think, we're not supposed to think in meditation. No, we are thinking beings. Human beings, we think. We just don't know how to think clearly. We don't know how to use our thinking capacity to liberate us, to help us understand things. We often use our thinking in a very skewed and distorted way, which just reinforces our habitual misperceptions about people and life, ourselves. Right? So we are thinking all the time. It's important that we learn to think clearly, cleanly, how to use this wonderful gift we have. Cultivate insight and understanding. This is a great gift we have to be human beings, to have this capacity. We don't know how long we'll have it, do we? No. Many human beings have it, but they don't use it. Just watch the news every day. Yeah. But we need to. So anything not clear? So again, I'm just kind of going through it to understand that this reflective, contemplative part of the path is essential. It's the preliminaries. Okay. Without a foundation, we're building a structure over there. First thing, wouldn't it be nice if we could have just started on the second floor? No. You start with the foundation. If there's no firm, well-built foundation, it can be a good-looking building, but over time it will crumble, it will crack. And many of us, that's the way our life is, that's the way our spiritual life, our meditative life is, because we don't have this foundation, even though we practice and we do this and that, it doesn't seem to hold. Cracks in our life. And it's not because there's something wrong with us, it's because we haven't built a strong foundation. That's the wisdom that's being shared with us here today. Right? Could have jumped right into meditation, couldn't he have? Any of us would probably, there could be somebody, it's 10 o'clock now, people thinking, gee, it's a whole hour has gone by and we haven't, You see, that's the way our mind think. But this is deep wisdom. This is deep experience. Somebody is reaching out over centuries to help us first train in the preliminary.